What up, doe? You are tuning in to What Works For Us, the Black Queer Lifestyle Podcast,
where we'll discuss everything black and queer,
mental health,
relationships,
art,
fashion.
We take it back our culture, y'all. Carry my city like some shoulder pads and strap. Evidently, I've been killing. What's poppin'?
Hey.
hey ho. Oh, we up in the building. La 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 la. We up in the building. Come on, Emerson. Hey, la di da di. We likes to party. We don't cause trouble. We don't bother nobody. Don't shake your head, Emerson. I have self-esteem issues when you don't validate my talent.
You tried it.
Yes, I do. I need you to validate me. Do you know how hard it is to walk on this earth and not be validated by your best friend?
Who said I don't validate you? I just, your little songs, your jingles that you do, I'm just not validating.
It's not a jingle, Emerson. I just wrote that on the spot. That was a rap.
Oh, that was supposed to be a freestyle?
It was a freestyle. Lottie-dottie, we don't cause trouble. That was original.
That was a cypher. You would have took that to BET.
The BET Hip-Hop Awards. Right. Yes.
You did that. I guess cashed out. Oh,
cashed
out. Good luck with
that. Oh, what are we doing? Oh, we record a podcast.
Yeah.
You guys are listening to What Works For Us. All black.
All queer.
All black.
I'm done. Maybe for the new year, I'll try something. You know, I still have my...
All black.
I'm done still. You tried it. I said, I'm done. Maybe for the new year, for new year, I ain't doing shit.
All black.
I'm done. I'm done. I need some rapper niggas. I need to find some rapper niggas that can just, you know, I just want, somebody can help him out. Maybe do 16 bars after that, something like that. And I don't do nothing. I just sit here and let y'all do y'all thing. And then I just come back and, you know, hey.
You know, I was looking at, they had an True Hollywood female rapper special thing. Mm-hmm. And I've been listening to some 90s hip hop. I think we should just start our own record label. Like, What Works For Us? The label. And get us some artists, you know, record a few.
Who got time to be doing that?
I'm just saying. We can come out with a few compilation albums.
I don't have time to run a record label. Sorry. Now, if you want somebody to help you in the fashion department, I can help with that. The run it shit, no thank you.
Well, I mean, it could be like an all service. It could be like a 360 deal. Like you
said. Well, I can help with the fashion.
You help with the fashion and the imaging consultant. Yeah. Well, I do the writing, producing,
okay,
and stuff like that. Then I make sure, but you need to make sure they look tight because they're going to sound good.
I hope so.
Excuse me? Did you just hear my rap? Lottie dottie, we likes the party.
To get a good A&R too.
Girl, I'm just gonna pay to get on the radio, or I'm gonna, you know, do what I gotta do underneath the soundboard.
Okay.
Because DJ Envy.
I'll come to the studio. Now I will be up in. I'm not gonna run the label, but I'll come to the studio late night sessions. I'll be in the studio.
You are not allowed, girl. You are not allowed.
I need to be in the studio when y'all are doing the songs and recording. I need to be there with the producers. And
no.
I can be, yes, I do. Get the vibe, so I can know the vibe. The fashion needs to go on, so I can we can have a conversation. Like, well, what vibe are you giving? You trying to get set? Okay, so I can think of a set. We can have conversations late night, 4 o'clock in the morning.
No.
He fine as hell.
You're not allowed.
And
in the studio.
We're
I might even give you a key.
It's the candles. I'm coming in. And the candles is lit. And me and the producers, and we're talking, you know, we're just drinking and vibing, you know, and shit might happen, you know.
No, you could see them dressing room.
No, I'm not seeing them no next motherfucking day. I'm in the studio, okay? I'm going to be the next fucking Summer Walker, okay?
Ooh. How'd that song go? Dun, 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 dun. How'd it go? Sometimes it won't dove.
Her single?
Yeah, with Bryson Tiller.
Oh.
It came on the radio today. I was like, I don't know what she's saying, but the melody is nice.
Well, the producer is amazing.
He is.
Landed on the track.
Oh, excuse me, y'all.
He's a little bit. Oh, you just had some.
I had some soup.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, oh yeah, I know that. Oh my God, so Emerson, are we gonna check in today?
Yeah, we have to.
Do we have to? Is it in our contract?
That's a part of the show.
What Works For Us record label.
No.
for management services.
Fuck what works for us, a record label, if I can't come to the studio.
You can't come to the studio.
I'm coming to the studio.
No.
Well, if I bring the producers to the motherfucking studio, I get to come in that bitch.
No, you
not if I
me.
Get the producers, I
well,
get to come in.
Well, then you're going to come up with all black and you're going to be able to say all queer.
No.
Yeah.
The producer is going to help me out with that. Because okay. That's why I'm going to get them. Ooh. Why are we in the studio at 4 o'clock in the morning? Anywho, but that's yes, it's time to check in.
Oh, who gonna go first?
I can. I really don't have. I mean, it's business as usual for me. I don't really have anything new from the last week. I really have a sound off. And more so, just want to vent. It's a sound off check in for me. And I'll try to make it quick. But you know how y'all listeners know how I say stuff backwards. So I'm not just gonna put it all out there first. You know, being in Austin, I understand that us as African-Americans don't get to be around a lot of other African-Americans in, you know, big numbers, kind of like maybe in other cities. Like somebody I was listening to today was saying how, what was that? Somebody was talking about Detroit. I wasn't talking to you, was I? I was listening to something today and they were talking about Detroit. It's like 90-something% black people. Oh, yeah, Dr. Claude Anderson. Yeah, he was talking about how Detroit is like 90%. It's the doctor that, my homeboy I always talked to on YouTube, and he was talking about Detroit and how Detroit has all these gas stations, but none of them are owned black people. And he was just talking about how black people don't, we don't keep our money in the community. Anyway, so he's talking about Detroit. He says like 92% black people, but Austin is definitely not that many black people, you know, not no 92%. And I don't have Mr. Telltale's full attention right now, but I guess I'm just talking to y'all, so I'm just going to put my hand up.
You do have my full attention. I was just trying to get the words to that song by Summer Walker. I'm listening to you.
Oh, my God. Is it really that important? Do you get the words to Summer Walker?
I can multitask, okay? It's your check-in. I'm listening to you, girl.
But you're supposed to be listening just like everybody else.
Well, my nose is running, so I'm trying to keep my face from the mic, because, you know, I just had that soup, and it just, like, went through me, and so my nose is running.
Oh, right. And we don't want you to have snot on the mic and then try to suck it afterwards. So,
well, don't put your behaviors off on me.
Excuse me. You said at the Halloween party, you told Bryson that you would be licking and doing all kinds of stuff on the mic.
I mean, I do.
Okay. Well, what I just said. Anyway. Okay. So, anyway, going back. Okay. I'll just want to look at Mr. Tails. I'm not going to pay any attention. I have my cocktail and blocking his view. Anywho, I don't understand. African Americans in Austin don't have the same assets as maybe people do in other cities. So I know that you have to hang with other races. You might be in a situation where you hang with other races: Caucasian, Anglo, Latino, other. You know, and but you still like to listen to rap, and you still, you know, like to be part of the culture, and you want, you know, want to talk, you know, have the same dialogue as rappers and stuff like that. I mean, even myself, you know, recently I've been listening to songs, and, you know, my some new words have re-entered my vocabulary just because of, you know, me listening to stuff and, you know, me talking.
Can you share a few? What has re-entered your vocabulary?
Well, I've been talking about, well, I always talk about fine-ass niggas, but I think now. Now I'm listening to Lil' Kim. Now niggas is just a part of my. It's just I just always talk about niggas. Just a guy that I want to fuck is just a nigga. You know what I'm saying? But a guy that I want to fuck that's a real nigga. Which brings me to my point. Y'all need to stop. Y'all African Americans here in Austin. Y'all need to stop calling everybody nigga. Everybody is not a nigga. When did Anglo become a nigga? Somebody tell me. When did Anglo become niggas? When did we give that to them? I hear it all day at my second job. And it sounds like blasphemy to me. I'm like, why the fuck are you calling this Anglo boy a nigga? Well, how is he a nigga? I don't even think all black dudes are niggas. To me, a nigga, we are from Detroit.
We from the D313.
Yes, we are from the D313.
West Side.
West Side, like Cash Style.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm not trying to say we're experts, but we're experts. I mean, like, we know niggas, okay? We've been around them. We have been exposed to them. We've been almost robbed by them. We've had experiences.
We've fucked them.
Fucked them. I mean, all kinds of stuff. So we know them. So when I hear somebody at my, or just anybody, anywhere, somewhere, even on, like, internet sometimes, like, Flashman Wade, you know, he calls all his friends niggas. Anglo, Asians. I'm like, everybody does not get nigga. When did this happen? Why is this okay? Like, I don't understand it. But if you have, or you know somebody, if you are doing this, or you know somebody else is doing this, stop immediately. Because that shit is just, I don't, I, y'all, you know what I'm thinking? All y'all motherfuckers that's doing this shit, I want to start a Scared Straight program for y'all.
To be in a room full of niggas.
Yeah, let me go over my Scared Straight program with y'all. Okay, so the Scared Straight program would be you and your friends that you're calling niggas. Y'all can all come on a trip to Detroit on the east side off of Connors. We'll take a drive down Connors and we'll take a walk down Connors. Now, I'm going to have security. I will have security high. I will have, you know, high level security with me, but y'all won't.
Since y'all the niggas.
So y'all get to walk the streets and through the, we're going to walk a couple of blocks. We'll walk about four blocks.
What time is it?
It's going to be about 7 o'clock, 6, 7, 8 o'clock.
After daylight savings.
After daylight savings. And we're going to take a stroll through the neighborhoods. We're going to walk Connors and walk through the neighborhoods. And y'all can talk to each other like y'all normally do and call each other niggas around some real niggas. And we'll just see how that goes.
We'll see how that goes. I think I like that idea.
Yeah.
And can whole girl go there too? What's her name? Gina Rodriguez?
Oh, yeah. She can go too. She's going to be a part of the program as well. It's not just limited to males.
Right.
Because women, y'all be doing that shit too, just calling everybody niggas.
Or saying niggas. We let all y'all come through.
All y'all can come to the Scared Trade Program Detroit on the east side off Connors. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we just walk through the neighborhood and I'm going to have people in the neighborhood come out to greet you. If each block, there'll be someone there to greet you and have a conversation with you all. And we'll just see what happens. And you can talk to your little niggas that's Anglo and that's Asian. And we'll see how that fares with the real niggas in the hood. Or even the females in the hood that fucks real niggas. We'll see how that goes and see what ends up happening. Now, the security will step in after a certain point.
After the point is made. That everybody ain't no nigga on so many levels, right? But I think that's a really good point. Because even beyond the social history of it, y'all ain't no niggas. And that nigga that you calling a nigga ain't no nigga. So stop calling them niggas. Stop and it. Y'all ain't no niggas.
No, you ain't no nigga either. Oh my God. Like some of the shit I be exposed to being around these little boys in my second job. I'm like, are you kidding me? Talking about how they be fucking. I'm like, you definitely ain't no nigga. Talking about you fucking like that. I'm gonna take her and I'm gonna do her. Like, I ain't no nigga. You better get the fuck out of my face with that bullshit. Talking about you're gonna take her and you're gonna try to hit it.
Sounds like an SVU.
Yeah,
episode.
I'm gonna take her. I'm gonna hit it from the back. That ain't no nigga. Niggas don't talk like that. What the fuck? Who the fuck? You think the game or somebody gonna say, I'm gonna take her? You think that's how they talk about fucking bitches?
That's not a good example. I'm
just. Well, oh yeah, that's right. He might
caught a case. Date. I'm just playing.
Oh. Oh my God.
Oops. I'm just saying he might use that. Allegedly.
Well, right.
Allegedly. But
well, I mean, but
I'm just joking.
But even, I mean, that's just not. Y'all need to stop. I don't understand y'all like to listen to rap and stuff like that and, you know, whatever. But everybody. Ain't no nigga. So stop it, because I'm going to look into the Scare Straight program, and I'm going to put all y'all on a motherfucking bus and ride y'all through the hood on the east side of Detroit, and I'm letting y'all free, and I'm going to talk to all the niggas in the hood. They're going to be ready for y'all, okay?
I really like that program, and I really like that, because they, at this point, they should know. We shouldn't still be having this conversation in 2019
no.
that everybody think that they could just say nigga.
Yes.
And everybody's a nigga. And da da da. You know what I'm saying? My thing is, it is a culture reference. And
yes,
again,
is.
It's a whole other side to it. And it's a lot of layers to it. But at the end of the day, it's culture. And everybody ain't about that life. Everybody's not from that culture. No. And just because you put on a 50 Cent album, y'all think y'all down, or y'all listening to, I don't know, Young Thug. Who is like the new gangster rap? Like, who is the hood nigga rapper?
We don't have no hood. Like, I mean, with Dave East.
Oh. I mean, I don't listen to him.
So he's
kind of hood.
Well, I mean, but I guess what's the, I don't know. I mean, I just name him because I feel like Dave East is a nigga.
Okay, that's a nigga.
That's a nigga. So I say him, but I don't know what's the, with T Grizzly, they listen to him?
Oh, from Detroit?
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I think that's a really good program. I'm here for that. You know, if you need a investor, to make sure we can go from city to city.
Yes.
You know.
Oh, because Detroit won't be here. We're going to go to New York, too.
Okay, Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Chicago.
Chicago.
Right.
South side of Chicago.
And we want to see some of y'all, you know, call. All y'all can come and just talk freely.
Talk freely.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking to your homegirl. That nigga this. And
your
I want
Latino.
You to,
your Latino friend. Talk to your Latino friends that, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and copyright. Talk about, yeah, nigga. And, talk, and my, the niggas that I invite will be present.
Okay.
Let's see how that fares with them. I don't think very well.
That's so interesting.
Stop it. But y'all get away with that shit here. But y'all don't. Even if y'all don't go to the Scare Straight program, that's fine. But don't run. I'm warning. Don't do that shit everywhere. Because if up north, they don't play that shit. And y'all know if you want to know some real niggas, go to me. Well, you can go to Oakland. You can go to the West Coast. You know, what is it? Oakland, the Bay Area. It's the area.
So I have a question though. Flat out, do you think other people of color, because I mean, devil's advocate, well, I don't believe in that word, let me take that back. So like certain socioeconomic communities of people of color mm-hmm. use the word freely. Is that inappropriate, even to use amongst themselves if they're not African American or black? Period.
It's mm-hmm. not, that's not your word. Okay. That's the word that we have, that we took, and we turned it around, and we made it hot, we made it sound sexy, and we applied it to a certain type of a man that, you know, we might want to fuck, but not necessarily marry. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just a certain, you know what I'm saying? I have a problem with it. You know, they cannot, because they're not, to me, I don't care what y'all say. Y'all are not niggas. Just because y'all listen to rap don't make you a nigga. Like mm-hmm. that, and somebody might ask, what's the definition? What is that? I don't know if I can really define it. I just know I've been around it. I went to school with niggas. And that don't necessarily mean that they game banging or anything like that. It don't mean that they could be a pretty boy, but they still a nigga. Like Dave East, he's still a nigga. He ain't necessarily game banging, but you know, that's a nigga. It's just a certain quality. It's just certain qualities that these dudes have. Like, oh, that's a nigga. Like, but not your homeboy, Timothy down the street that's Anglo, that, you know, lives in suburbia and, you know, goes to private school. I'm sorry. That's not, you can't call him a nigga. It's just, but y'all gonna still
or do. Or even your Latino hood friend either. Just because he on a block, don't make him a nigga. No. Now, I don't know what the word is that in Spanish.
Thank you.
You know.
Whatever their word is. Whatever that they got, that's what y'all need to be calling them. But y'all just about, you know, talking about this nigga. Who?
Who's the nigga?
Right,
you,
I mean,
you still looking.
Y'all be looking
like,
around.
You be looking like.
Where the niggas at? Tell me. I want to know. Where's the niggas at?
And then you looking like, that ain't no nigga.
That ain't no nigga. I look over and I see fucking somebody from Disney or something like that. A little boy that look like he'd be on the Disney Channel. That's a nigga? Oh, okay. No, yeah. I'm not here for it. So that's that. And I'm
But that's good though. Don't use it.
Stop it.
It ain't for you. It's culture. And that's the only thing we gotta explain. We ain't got to explain why you can't say it. You've been told, you've been warned. Now gonna go through the Scare Straight program.
You gonna go through the
so
Scare
you've been
program.
Warned.
You've been warned. I'm gonna put all y'all asses in it. Okay. And your homeboy and y'all homies. They all going. Your homeboy Timothy, he's coming too. Mm-hmm. I bet you he ain't gonna be no nigga in the hood. I bet you he gonna be straight up bitch in the hood. Okay. But anywho, and another thing, just before while we talking about this, because you know, another thing I've realized too, you know, and you know, Mr. Telltale is like, you know, you are the podcast is pro black. But I can honestly say all my life, I don't know if I've necessarily been the most, like, pro-black person. Not saying I've been, like, everybody think I've dated Anglo. No, I'm not that. But I just, you know, I'm not necessarily been real, like, strict on stuff I do that's black and stuff like that. Like, I always felt like, you know, I've always been about diversity. I normally am about diversity. Like, well, you know, I like it to be a little mixture of everything. But I realized in E.T. the Hip Hop Preacher, he talked about this on his podcast one time, and I realizing it, you know, working this second job where, you know, these black boys are calling everybody Timothy and all these non-niggas niggas. I realized that other races, true, I mean, we know this, but other races truly do look out for their own. They do. They look out for their own. They rep their own. They protect their own. They look out for their own. And when you're a minority in those type of situations, you can really see that. You can see how they try you if you are not. You know what I'm saying? I see how these minorities try people. Not minorities. These people of communities that might have Like, you work in a job and it's a primarily a whole bunch of Latinos. I see how they look out for each other. They look out for each other. They lazy as fuck. They all lazy as fuck. And they be thinking they gonna get the black person to do all the work or something like that. They do shit like that. And I'm just realizing that recently. Like, you know, I've been experiencing it. I'm like, oh, these motherfuckers really be trying it. And I think, and then I'm quiet at my second job. So I think they think I'm like somebody different. But I try to keep my composure because I'm like, if I let this tongue go, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what's going to happen. If I really show my attitude and how stank I can really be, I try not to be that way. I try not to. But sometimes I feel like I need to. Because I'm like, I need to let y'all motherfuckers know. I'm not no, y'all think I'm some dumb black person. I think that's what they think. Oh, he's dumb. He's black. He's going to do everything. He'll do all the work. And we don't have to do anything. You got the wrong bitch. And I think a lot of people think that. And, you know, I've just been straddling with that lately in so many ways. Just, I feel like I've been being tried. And I'm like, I think people think because I'm quiet, I'm dumb. Like, I don't know where that comes from. Why would you think a quiet person is stupid? A quiet person, I would always think a quiet person is smart. They hear everything. They hear, and they probably pay attention to a lot of things. So I hear and see y'all. I'm not talking. So I, you know.
You're quiet?
At work? Yeah, I don't talk to them. I'm there to work. And I observe and I'm listening, even if they're speaking in another language. I don't understand that shit. But I, you know, they lazy. Not they. But people are lazy. And, you know, they be trying me. And I feel like when it's a majority of one race, you know, they look out for each other. And I never, you know, I try not to think that way. But, you know, Eric the Hip Hop, E.T. the Hip Hop, he was talking about that. He was like, you know, you can go and work for somebody that's Anglo. And, you know, they can praise you and, you know, say this. And they have all this stuff. You know, they think this about you. They think this about you. Think, you know, that about you. But at the end of the day, when it comes down to certain things, they going to look out for their own. You know what I'm saying? They gonna be like, yeah, I like you, but I'm trying to, you know, they keep shit in the family. You know what I'm saying? I like you, but I ain't giving you my inheritance. I ain't gonna teach you how to get my millions. That's my family. I like you. You can, you know, I like you being around, but when it comes to me and my legacy and all that kind of stuff, I'm leaving that to my family, to mine, not to you. I'm not, you know, to other, not to you. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that makes sense.
I think it makes sense, but I think we have the same concept. Like, I mean, well, not maybe.
We do.
We have the same. I think African Americans or black folks, like I like to call us, we have the same concept.
We do.
I mean, you know, like Issa Rae said it best, I root for everybody black.
No, but see, that's what I'm saying. I wasn't always necessarily that straight.
Yeah, saying, you said you was never that, but now you're seeing the benefit of that.
Yeah.
Like, because at the end of the day, you just make that contact with another black person.
Yeah.
You know, and be like, I see you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And I'm, no, go ahead.
No,
I realize the importance of that now. Like, you know, even endeavors that I want to do for myself, like, or things I'm thinking about for my own future with stuff I'm doing, I'm like, I'm going to make a platform for black people. I'm going to make sure I have this all for black people. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to always work with black people as far as personal style and stuff like that. I can't say I'm going to be strict to that, black people for that. But when it comes to stuff I'm doing where I'm, like, trying to bring people on my team, or black.
Okay.
I think that's what it is for me. I mean, because I think that's what we're going to have to do. And, you know, I know people have that, you know, I know people, black people can be their own critics, worst critics when it comes to other black people and working with them. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I ain't going to lie. I'm like, I don't know. But I think I'm just going to be, you know, putting faith, you know, just have faith in the process and have faith that that's going to, but that's what it's going to be. I'm looking out for the black people. You know, I'm rooting for, like, at least right, I'm rooting for all black people. I'm rooting for all the black people. Or, you know, that's what I'm doing. And I'm going to try to up or, you know, promote people or pull people on my team that are black because I see other people do it all the time. And they be trying us. And I'm not here for it. So that's the revelation I had this week. Like, you know what? These other people really be trying it. They be really trying it. You know, like, I feel like some people think that slavery is still, like, active. Or, you know, still, like, it's still a thing. Like, bitch, no. You got the wrong bitch. And I don't want to tell nobody that.
And that's why Latinos and anybody else can't say the word nigga. Because exactly. Shit like that still goes on.
Exactly.
That you could be still looked at as a nigga to a nigger. Real quick.
Exactly.
And then that same mentality, you know what I'm saying? And then just remember, I think we talked about it before. It wasn't really until I moved to Texas that I understood. Because, you know, growing up in Detroit, you know, I didn't go to Spanish Town that often, right? Yeah. I think I did go to middle school. So I did go to middle school. But, you know, I always thought, like, you know, like Latinos were on the same, you know, socioeconomic, you know, scale as black folk. Mm-hmm. I never looked at them as being, like, you know, better than or like a superior race. I didn't even have any. That's not how we grew up. Yeah. Like they were the same, or I'm not even gonna say.
Yeah.
But that when I came to Texas, because even in Atlanta, I felt it was the same way. You know, like going out to Smyrna. You know, they call it. You know, they had a little racist thing, Little Mexico, and all those different words. But it was still like okay. It wasn't. I didn't ever equate like Latino. And I'm talking about American. I'm not necessarily talking about the whole diaspora of being, you know, Latin person.
Yeah.
I'm literally talking about the ones that live in the hoods or even certain areas in major cities. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really until I got to Texas that even though I always seen, like the census said, you know, Hispanic, non-white, Hispanic, white. So I understood from like a census count, I understood that white folks benefited for, you know, including Hispanics a part of the white race mm-hmm. to make them continue to be the superior race in the country, you know, because if you take away Hispanics from the white race in America, then the white race would not be the superior race, period, right? Yeah. So I understood that on that, but I didn't know that it was like communities of Latin people living in this country that identified, like they put themselves on the same level as being Anglo.
Yeah.
I didn't really, that came later on in life. I mean, I was dumbfounded. I never knew.
I still am.
Well, I mean, but they live their life like Caucasian people. They have resources as Caucasian people. They live, they are really living an Anglo life. But they're Latino.
Yeah.
And I just, and they're not like I said, they're not even representing the whole Spain, you know, diaspora. We're talking about American or Central American, you know. We're talking, you know, Mexico, Puerto Rican, you know, all the Central American ethnicity. I understand, like, if you're coming from South America, I definitely understand the caste system over there, you know, understand racism and, you know, colorism, you know, throughout the Latin diaspora.
Yeah.
But the whole idea that within the Latino community here in America, you have that, the ones that consider themselves white. And so I just find that to be, you know, I'm going to leave it at that. I find that very interesting, you know, and then they put themselves over. And so I don't have time to try to separate that because Latino is Latino. I don't have time to consider, well, do you consider yourself a white Latino or, you know, a person of color? So, no Latino can use the word nigga.
No,
how about that?
Not.
Because I can't separate because. To me, you're all a person of color. That is, I don't understand the concept of being a white Latino. That doesn't even make, unless you're coming from like literally Spain or something like that. And even then, that's, you know, you're Eastern European. So I get that part, but like in America, I don't understand that. I understand the idea how it started, but for you to really live your life like that. So yeah, no Latino using the word nigga because I can't do the work for you. I mean, I can't, because you're going to always be a person of color to me.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, anyway.
Yeah, so no saying nigga, and I'm always going to be pro-black because y'all be trying it, and y'all got me fucked up. That's my check-in.
Yeah, I'm definitely, well, I'm going to start my check-in. I'm pro-black, pro-queer, all black. I mean, that's how we start off, all black, all queer.
Right.
I mean, and I guess for me, you know, at work, I've been, you know, I went from working with all Anglos recently to working with closely with more Anglos. So it's interesting. Like, I feel, you know, I tell people this, like, me and my mom talking about it, I'm always reminded I'm black, but I love it, right? I think the struggle of always knowing that I'm black and being reminded of I'm black is always the beauty of being black. Like, cause I feel like we always, no matter what, we can't walk in a room and not be black.
That's true.
You know, and that comes with a lot. I'm not saying that it's not taxing, it's not mentally draining, it's not, you know, just shit. It shit comes with that. But at the end of the day, I always find the beauty in it, and that's why I just love black people. I love us, like, you know, and I love, especially when we intersect with being gay, and, you know, black gay people, I just think we the shit. And that's just how I feel, and it is not like I'm using that. I literally feel that way. Like, I really feel like black gay people, black queer people is the shit. You either with us or you against us, and I'm good with that. You know what I'm saying? Because I just don't really seek validations from other people, other races. I don't really care.
I can give a fuck
what
less.
Any other race feel about me. Mm-mm. I just don't.
I don't care. Right? Like I don't want to be a part. Like I, you know, I don't need that to be validated. Or I want to be a part or be a little token black.
Yes.
I am not that bitch.
Okay.
I do not care. I be like looking at that shit like, girl, bad. Like, are you trying to recruit me, girl, bitch? Please.
Right. Find another.
Right.
Okay, because this is the wrong nigga. Because I'm a nigga, and I always been a nigga. I'm still that nigga, and so I have to remind these. I act black wherever I go. I think I'm professional. I think I'm well respected, but I represent being black. It's nothing better. Why would I want to try to assimilate? I can't stand assimilation. And then my thing is, people be trying to reach for something in this Anglo space, and they deal with being black the worst because they're not being who they are. You know what I'm saying? They when black folks trying to make themselves seem more white. It's not about how you carry yourself because we have, and you know, and then I am seeing a lot. I saw an article about this about a black guy who's like, was he black enough? And I feel kind of sad when I see stuff like that because we do have within the black community we kind of. So on the opposite end of the nigga thing we were talking about,
yeah,
all black people ain't niggas, right? And that's fine. We come in all different shades and types and different things.
That's
but
true.
That doesn't make you less black. You know what I'm saying? You can be a black person that speak a certain way. I mean, and we as black people need to stop ostracizing them because we need to make sure that they know that they're black even though they're not hood or not. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to be that to be black.
Oh, yeah, you don't. You definitely don't.
And that just shows how we are. It's a rainbow of what it is to be black because at the end of the day, it has nothing to do with just how you talk or how you walk or where you're from. It's you're black.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. You don't have to explain it. I can't explain it. I don't know what makes you black other than that you black. I know it's a definition if you got 1 ounce of black. Yeah. Da, 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 da. If you're black, you're black. If you claim it, I'm down with you.
No, yeah, if you claim being black and you ain't necessarily, you know, like acting like a quote unquote nigga, I'm fine. You know what I'm saying? With it, as long as you ain't, you know what I'm saying, on some token black shit, you know, you on some shit where, you know, I'm not hanging around black people because I don't want to be associated with them. That's when I have a problem.
Oh, that internalized racism.
Yeah, that's when I have an issue. You see
yourself.
Black people, you run again. You see some black people and you run to Anglo. That's when I have a problem. But if you like a Van Jones, that's the thing I'm saying here.
Oh, I like Van Jones.
I like Van Jones too. If you like him, he black. I don't give a fuck. If, you know what I'm saying? People be talking shit about him and saying he this and he that. Look, he black and he raps black. You know, his ex-wife, I don't know if she was black, but that don't matter. But, I'm just saying, I don't know if he was running to Anglo too. I don't know, but he normally seems like he's for the black people. So, you know, he can come to the barbecue.
He can come to the barbecue. I don't know if he can bring, we got to see who she is.
She's the ex and she can't come.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's
so
not invited.
She ain't invited. But if he needs personal console, he can talk to me.
But yeah, I mean, and that's just really what it is, you know, if you black, you black, and you ain't got to explain it. If you claim it, I feel like that's the claim it.
Yeah.
And wear it proud.
Yeah, you black, girl.
And that's it. So, what my check-in? So, that's my check-in about to be a black, but I'm not on, it's 6 days, not on social media, I'm assuming.
Oh, yes.
So, I've been fasting off of Instagram and Facebook. I do have my Twitter, but my Twitter is like lame as fuck. Like, I have no, you know, I don't really do Twitter. It's really like the porn part of Twitter that I like. But I do want to do better with my Twitter eventually. But yeah, so I don't know what's going on in the world. So I'm like on this podcast and I feel like I'm so like out of touch of what's going on. Like I watched CNN like all day last night just so I could see what's going on politically. You know, I've told you guys on the show, I love the Shade Room. I feel like I'm a roomie. What they call them? A roomie? Roommates. Well, I don't really provide no information, so I don't know if I'll be a roommate per se, because I don't really go after no tea. You know, I just watch what they post. Is that what roommates do, right? They're the ones to get the information and bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I feel more enlightened a little bit. I feel like I knew, I didn't know if I can do it. So I'm doing it, but I'll be back on Monday to post this episode. I'll be back, but I don't know what's going on our podcast Instagram page or What's in the Mirror Instagram page or my Instagram page. I don't know what's going on, child. Your page popping.
Oh, please. No. No, my page is not popping. I ain't been on Facebook, so, I mean, I'm going to have to go on Facebook to catch up. I got on Facebook just to catch up on a whole bunch of shit, because I totally just neglected Facebook. So, no, I respect that you did that, though, you know, and just was able to not go on and not go on at all. That's good.
When I got tricked on Facebook, because I kept my Messenger, the app, and so I thought you could only see messengers, but then when I got on there, somebody had messaged me on Facebook, and then they have the little live up there on the Messenger app. You get what I'm saying? I didn't know that was on there, so I went. I was like, oh my God, I can see what people posting.
Oh wow! Oh my God, I saw who your screensaver is.
Oh, C+.
Yeah.
Shout out to C+. See, those is up there, so I didn't even know.
Oh yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
I was like, oh my God, oh, this person is crazy. I have a crazy person that's like, I have told them to stop messaging me on several platforms.
Oh.
And it's weird. You know what I'm saying? I just don't understand. Like, please, guys, don't lose your self-esteem and your self-respect being a thought. Like, I don't.
Are they in Austin? Well, I guess you can't say that, but.
But I just don't understand why people just, like, girl, it's not, I mean, understand, we all like sex. We all like dick and ass and all that good stuff. But you got to keep your dignity.
Yeah, you have to keep your dignity. Like, by in the age of the Megan Thee Stallions, the City Girls and stuff like that, y'all listening to this music, but y'all not, are y'all listening?
Okay.
Like, are you listening to what type of bitches that they are? They would not never be up thirsty in nobody's DM or messengers trying to ask for the day. That's not how it goes.
And then try to be regular, like, oh, well, I see you had an event or you have an event. And then the next thing, you trying to send ass and pictures and stuff like that. Like, girl, that I thought we were talking about something totally different. Like, you know I would ignore you otherwise. So just please keep your dignity.
Keep your and you know what? I was looking at this message from actually a straight female the other day on YouTube. She was just talking about, and I was so here for it. I don't want to misquote what she said, but I can generally say that she was just talking about how a man pretty much tells you what he wants. Like, if a man wants you, he'll pretty much tell you that he wants you. And if he's not interested in you, he'll pretty much give you signals that he's not interested. It's not really no forcing him to want you.
Oh, my God.
It's not. That doesn't really. I mean, y'all, memo, listen to Auntie Edmondson. Okay, all you babies out there, if y'all listen to Auntie Edmondson. Okay, I'm in my 35th dynasty. I know a little bit about life. Okay? And let me tell you something. Men are honest. A lot of times. They might bullshit. Fuck boys, bullshit. But they're pretty much, if a fuckboy wants to fuck you, you'll know it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really no guessing. You don't have to do anything extra to try to coerce him to do it. If he's interested, or if you hit him up and, you know what I'm saying, you're just talking to him and he's a little interested, he will say certain stuff to you that'll
let you know he want to fuck.
That he want to fuck. He'll let you know. A man, you know, people say men can be complicated. They really not. They can really. Either they're telling you or they're giving you signals of what they do and do not want. And you have to be honest with yourself as to reading them. You can't read it and then try to, you know, like run it through some filter that you have in your head. Like, you know, yeah, you know what? He really want to fuck. No, he hasn't told you that, sweetie.
Right. He don't want to fuck,
bitch. He don't want to fuck you. He has not sent you anything back. You sending him pictures. He ain't seen you no dick pic back. He ain't say, oh, interested. You know, send me more. If you do something like that to a man and he don't respond, stop. Stop. Don't keep sending him more pictures. Don't keep saying he's not interested, sweetie. So listen to Auntie Edmondson. Stop doing that. But the lady on YouTube, she was just saying how, well, she was talking about as far as relationships. So I guess it's a totally different situation. So I ain't going to say that. But she was just saying, you know, a man let you know what it is that he want, girl. So stop doing that. Stop embarrassing yourself. Like he said, keep your dignity and listen to the City Girls, especially the first album, period. Listen to that album and listen to what they're saying. People, how that's how if you're gonna be a bitch that's out here getting it or you know fucking it, be I would say be more like that. I just on that desperate level or at that desperate realness, that's not cute. And don't know, man, don't.
Oh my goodness, bitch. Desperate realness. I probably have some dignity.
Yeah,
it's not that serious. It's a lot of free dick, a lot of free ass out here. You ain't got to lose your dignity for it. No. I just don't understand that. Like, find something to do. I feel like if you can spend that much time in people DMs and, like, stalking people, yeah. Girl, like, that doesn't make nobody, like you said, that doesn't make somebody want to fuck you. That makes you, you go down on the list because you're a thirsty bitch.
Yeah, you thirsty. And that's not cute. Like, you know, and I get it. You know what I'm saying? Let me listen to Auntie. You know, Auntie ain't got nobody up her DMs doing shit. I don't know a man that's attracted to me right now. I don't. But my thing is, I still, you know, I'm old school. So, you know, I go back to, you know, my sissy Lil' Kim hardcore. You know, I go back to that. I always keep that in my mind. So I don't get desperate and start trying to send pictures to make some man want. You know what? No, they just, you know, oh my God. What did my girl Savoy say? Hold on. I got the quote. Hold on real quick. And then I'm sorry. I ain't mean to fuck up your check-in.
My body all over you.
I'm a work of art and everybody's not going to understand that. Period.
Period. Ow. But yeah, it's just not that serious. I don't know that man. I never met that. I will move on. Just please get it together. So what's the topic today, Emerson?
It's your topic.
Oh, why you got to say that all on the mic? It's your topic.
I mean, you the one who brought it to me.
Well, yeah, guys. So I was just looking at one of my friends on Twitter, and they were talking about, I forgot what I was watching. And so I know one of the topics that we haven't talked about.
This Is Us?
I was watching This Is Us. I forgot. Good, Emerson. Good job. I was watching, and I love This Is Us. I caught it. My homeboy gave me his YouTube TV subscription.
Shout out to keeping it in the family.
Yes, and I know what you about to say, bitch. Bitch, I had to hold my breath for a minute.
But he was like squirming in his seat, like he moved, like you just see him. He did not, like, oh my God, like what are you about to say? And I didn't say anything.
You didn't say nothing, bitch. I didn't know. He told me, shout out,
right? Like, he was oh my God, he really moved in his seat, like, bitch, what are you about to say?
Girl, you know how you get. I was watching This Is Us. That's my show, y'all. But anyway, yeah, like I said, somebody, I'm doing pretty good. I got a U-verse subscription now. I got a YouTube TV subscription now. I still got my Netflix. So I got like a whole three thing going on now.
You got all of it, but you got to get BET Plus.
Child, not according to Black Twitter. Right. They're not here for those new Tyler Perry shows. Girl, so I don't know.
Do better.
I can't.
Do better.
I mean, I'm going to watch it if it come across. I don't know if I get BET on any of those. At least I haven't seen it come across my
own. See, I know it's not on YouTube TV.
Oh, yeah, because that stuff is specifically for their streaming platform, right?
Yeah.
I do want Disney. So anybody out there who getting the Disney one, can you please, like, DM? Now, that's where you could be in my DM. Please give me the Disney subscription password. I just need your email and your password. I promise I won't be there. You know what? I can say that I can go be on there from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. so it's not too many people on there at the same time. So I won't, you know, get you shut out or nothing like that, okay? But no, This Is Us. So the episode I was watching with I don't know if you watched the main character. Her name is Chrissy Metz in real life. But anyway, she just had a baby. Her baby came out blind, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole different subject. Anyway, her man, you know, he had a heart attack on the last episode. So both of them are like kind of, I mean, they're, I guess you would, I think the technical term for her would be, at least on the show, I know, like morbid obese, obese or whatever. And her man, her husband rather, he was a bigger guy as well, but he had a heart attack. So anyway, this season was, she would take care of the baby, She didn't know out, she didn't realize that he was going to the gym, Then she walked in one day, was like, take your shirt off. And he took his shirt off, and he had, like, this body. Oh. And she was like, well, where did you get this body? He was like, well, you know, while, you know, while you was taking care of the baby, you know, I was, you know, working out and da 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 da. You know, he was like, look, I had a heart attack last year and I want to be here for my child. She said, oh, like I want to have a heart attack or something like she said like that. But it was just interesting because she was going on like, so I don't know if y'all watched This Is Us, and basically the show goes back like in the past and stuff. And so you see how you can really see throughout the last 4 years her transition, how she became, you know, this bigger person. So it just brought me to the fact that I know one of the things that we haven't talked about on the show is like fat phobia. And so I feel like that was a good topic, you know, because I think we've talked about, like, you know, people with disabilities and different things like that and different other. So I was like, well, we never really talked about that. And I know in the black queers world, weight is, I mean, it is like a big thing.
It is.
Especially in this, like, we thought it was bad back in the day. Like, now, in the Instagram era, like, what your body look like is everything, right? And so, I mean, so I just kind of wanted to just give, like, a little bit of that. What they say, weight stigma in general refers to negative attitudes and behavior made towards fat people, attitudes and behavior that mean fat people are not able to participate in everyday society the same way that thinner people are. Mm. And fat phobia, in simplest terms, is a dislike of fat people or obesity. And it's similar, theoretically, to homophobia, except there the dislike is being aimed at fat people. Mm. So have you ever came across somebody that was either part of fat phobia or experienced it in some kind of way?
You don't know? But. I've had friends that are overweight, and it was an issue. But I guess I never took it as it was the weight. I just thought maybe it was just the issue. You know what I'm saying? Like, we go places and they're like, you know, I'm not getting any men and all this kind of thing. And it's like, oh, okay. And, you know, I guess for me, I'd be like, well, shit, I ain't either. So, you know, I never took it as like, it's because of your weight. You know what I mean? It's just like, well, girl, I don't know why they ain't checking for us. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I guess. So, but I know it's a thing. So, but I guess I've never honestly in my whole life had anybody like come to me or confide in me about anything in regards to weight like that. I've had friends who've maybe had issues with it, but it's not a conversation that we've had. So I don't... So I guess yes and no.
Well, I know, like, in if you guys don't know, I have a book out. It's called No Bond
I'm
So
talking about
Strong.
The same people.
Well, yeah, so it's called No Bond So Strong. Mm-hmm. It's on Amazon. It's at MrTeltos.com. Still available. So I really, when I was really thinking about the book and thinking about the characters and thinking about some of the things that I really wanted to highlight in the book, if for those who read it, you know, I really highlighted, you know, fat phobia.
Yeah, you did.
And it's experiences for people who have experienced that. Like, I really wanted to, you know, and at the time, it's so weird that it wasn't even something I was intentionally doing. Like, I wanted to make sure that I, like, you know, talk about all the isms and the phobias and stuff like that. Like, I really wanted to just be like, hey. But it was really, growing up, it was something that I found to be very prominent, you know, in my experiences. And the character Robert was a character that I really used to really kind of navigate that world a little bit about their experience, because everything in the book is based on real stories. Not everything that happened to just those four characters, but Robert, everything that Robert went through was something that happened to somebody that I knew, basically. And I used his character to really kind of be the vehicle for, you know, the idea of fat phobia in the black queer community. And because he was a mix of characters, you know, that went through that. And that was a thing, you know, like, you know, I remember like one night, like drinking and like being with my friend. This was an older friend of mine, jumping up and down, saying that he just wished he was skinny.
Ooh.
Crying. Like literally had like a, you know, like really spazzed out, like jumping up and down crying, saying that, you know, I wish I was skinny. I wish I was skinny. You know, why won't nobody want to fuck me? And da 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 da. And that always stuck with me. It always stuck with me. That Robert character was very important to me because I wanted to really show that, like, what we have kind of like what we have fostered in our community, this whole, you know, weight stigma and this body shaming and, you know what I'm saying, type of thing. Because it's really big. Like, like you mentioned it, right? You just said, like, I'm gonna go to Detroit. I'm gonna go off of Robert specifically and not really bring up no names. But some of the friends we had, they were always talking about being the fat one.
Yeah.
And then they try, and so I'm gonna be transparent with you guys. And that was one of the reasons why I wanted to, with Robert, I consciously victimized him, I mean, made him a victim, but also made him an enemy in a way, because that was always my battle with dealing with my experience towards the bigger people that was in my life at that time growing up, that they used their issues around their weight to try to, I guess, come at me a certain kind of way. Mm-hmm. And it always led for me to have this horrible interpret, like, you can't trust big people, like big. It was something that I totally like just lived by, but it was like this subconscious, like a lot of big gay people in my life kind of hurt me.
Okay, yeah.
They kind of hurt me. And one of them, like, I remember being like, if they can't call you fat, they want to call you, you know, dark skin. Well, you dark skin. I'm like, okay. And, you know, my response, you know, back, I was young, you know, the 34-year-old Tyreek is not the 17-year-old Tyreek, yeah. Right? So sometimes I'd be like, well, bitch, you fat, right? You know what I'm saying? But I feel like at the time I understand that what they were going, I understood it, I heard it, and I heard with their response, but then that was my experience. They lashed out.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't one, it wasn't two, it wasn't three. It became a pattern. But I feel like now looking back on it, it was the pressure of, you know, body shame and fat phobia, right? Everybody was, you know, they were always the big ones.
That's true. I mean, and I think for you, I mean, because, you know, I was there. This is my best friend. So I was there, and we had these same mutual friends. And I think for you, you know, Tyree did used to get attacked, I will say. I can say I wasn't attacked because I wasn't getting the same attention. Tyree, you know what I'm saying, was young, and, you know, he always had somebody that was interested. Sometimes people that they were interested in was interested in Tyreek, and it was a fight one time because somebody had got somebody that somebody else wanted, and they were upset. And I ain't gonna say it was a weight issue, but it was almost like that came out. Like, I'm, you know, like, bitch, I'm tired of you getting all the people. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, bitch, you know, I'm tired, sick of you. You gonna get him too. You know what I'm saying? And it was a fight.
And like, literally hit me in the car, right?
Yeah, but you hit him with a boot. A Timberland boot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this all happened in my little hoopty.
While you were driving.
While I was driving.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. And I pulled over, and they had went out. Well, one was trying to fight. The other one was just tad. Come on, let me catch my breath.
But I forgot about that. Yeah. I didn't forget about that. But see, okay, so I wasn't even thinking about that, but that was an example.
That's an example.
Like, he literally attacked me.
Yeah.
And I had to defend myself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that was not, and again, so this is, I'm going to bring it back. I don't want everybody to feel like, okay, that was my reason to be that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, being younger, that was what I experienced. I'm like, these girls is trying to get me. That bitch, I can't. I'm going back because you were driving. You were like, I'm driving. I'm driving. I was like, pull it over, dude. Right. I'm about to beat this bitch ass. Like, you better pull this car over and y'all both about to get it because I was jumping in the front seat. Because I just couldn't believe it. You're going to attack me. And so that's kind of going back to as I got older. So I had a lot of those different experiences or whatever. And it wasn't just me. I seen those same people, you know, attacking. It was just the culture, right? But I think those personal experiences even, yeah, period.
Yeah, period.
And so fast forward 15-some later, the way that I wrote the character Robert, he was kind of a mix of that, right? Mm-hmm. Those experiences that I personally had. But at the same time, those other moments, right, that I had with these people, that they would tell me these things and I understood their struggles and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying, about wanting to get surgery and, you know, wanting to lose weight. You know, I even remember someone telling me, like, they wanted to get HIV so they could be skinny.
Oof, 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 oof. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But it's the thing, though. Like, we do look at... They were being discriminated, but, you know, looked a certain way. Like, and then I mean, we know right now, I mean, and I guess you can always correlate it to that no fats, no film.
Yeah.
It's still going on now.
That's okay. That explains it then. So that's why it was more so I was a part of the discrimination. You know what I'm saying? I was the feminine one. So it's like, well, I'm the same. Yeah, I'm not in the same boat, but we're both being discriminated against. So I guess that's why your experiences were different than mine with them, because it was almost like, okay, you know what I mean? We're not in the same boat, but we're both experiencing, you know, discrimination for different things. So I guess I'm glad you said that, because I'm like, we knew the same people. We would have conversations. I would have conversations with especially one of them. You know, we was very close at one point in time. We would have conversations, but... and, you know, he would talk about weight and stuff like this, but I don't know. It definitely was an issue, but I think Tyreek did get he was the punching, he was like a punching bag.
I was a punching bag.
Yeah.
But I understood it, even like in ballroom culture, right? Yeah. You know, the idea of body. So, you know, I suffered through, you know, I'm going to say something on this podcast, you know, at one point, you know, when I was walking sex siren and stuff like that, I started like, and I was like having to keep my body a certain way. And I got into bulimia and throwing up and all of that stuff, trying to stay looking good. You know, I was a junior sex siren and stuff like that. And so I suffered from body issues like my whole life. But I always felt like I put myself through that. I never understood why, though. What you about to say, Amazon? I see you. But yeah, so I've always, I think once you like shift into ballroom, right? And this is just the whole conversation around, you know, weight stigma and body shaming and fat phobia. Ballroom, like, and walking those categories, like, I think the first time I walked sex siren, like, junior sex siren was what, like, 18 or whatever. And that shit was a lot of pressure to have somebody just like pick apart your body on a stage like that, and when you already have like your issues, like, because I think for some, you know, you never know what's a trigger or something that you that would do something to you until you experience it sometimes. So when I was walking Schoolboy, you know, I was like, shit, I can do this, and, you know, I can. So when I went over to the sex, I'm like, well, it's the same thing, they're gonna judge you, talk shit. But when they judge my body, that had a toll on me.
It is, that kind of stuff is serious. I always say that you are like my girl, you know, that damn Maya slide. You and Maya, y'all are like, when y'all talk about like weight now, because like she has weight issues too. But hers stems back to her from when she was a child. And when she was a child, her uncle, pretty much who was gay, she, you know, she like reveres him. She always talks about him, her gay uncle. She loves him to his dirty drawers, you know what I'm saying? But she said he was the reason why she had body issues, because, you know, he was gay. So we're talking about being in the gay culture. He was gay, so he like, girl, you need to be snatched. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't be gaining weight. You know what I'm saying? She was like, you know, even look like I was getting a little bit chunky, like, oh, you getting fat. You need to, you know, girl, you ain't gonna get this. You ain't gonna know you fat. So now she be like, you know, she be tripping. She be like, oh my God, I gained 2 pounds. This is not about to happen. I'm about to stop eating foods. I'm about to just start drinking liquids. I'm gonna start walking every day. I'm about to take me some Excedrin, you know what I'm saying? And you look at her, you're like, girl, you know what I'm saying? You're fine. But she's like, no, you know, because of her uncle, you know, instilling that in her, that, you know, you can't be fat, you know what I'm saying? You can't be fat, you gotta be. So she's like obsessed with it. It's like it's almost like a trigger for her, like, no, I can't be fat, because it's almost like she hear her uncle like, girl, you getting chunky. Like, oh, no, I have to be on the left side of a size 6, you know what I'm like. So when I see this, I'm like, she's sharing kind of an issue she has, but she's like trying to make it sound cute. But that's really an issue. Like, girl, You gained 2 pounds. You about to lose your mind. So I say Tyreek because Tyreek, you know, be like that too. Like, girl, I can't get. I gotta lose weight. I'm gaining these pounds. I'm like, you know, I'm like, well, I think you're fine. No. You know, it's easy for you. You know, I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, you're not big. Like, what are you talking about? You know, but again, I know that's like he said, your triggers or his, you know, just things with his own body that he might have the struggle with, you know, that I can't see or, you know, or I just don't, you know, I don't think about firsthand. And I'm like, oh, you know, that's a thing for him.
That is a thing. And it goes back a long time that I think about it, right? Because I remember like being younger, I was always very like before 10, I was always tiny. I was always the tiny, skinny thing. Then my head was bigger than the rest of my body. Like, you ask my mama now, she could never get a shirt to go over my head because my body was little, but my head was real big. Then I feel like when I went through like puberty. Ooh, I can't say that. I kind of grew tall and I got thick, like real big for a minute. And then I went through that. Then by the time I got to high school, I had, middle school, it was an issue. Cause you know, I had stopped eating meat growing up as well. Mm-hmm. And I ended up like having some issue that I had to start. I wasn't getting enough iron or meat. I had to start eating meat again. Mm-hmm. Cause I was vegetarian for a long time, but I was like too skinny. Mm-hmm. It was a whole thing. So I feel like weight has always been that thing for me. Mm-hmm. Like, even from a little kid, like the skinny big. Then when I tried to put myself out on display, then I was like, child, that really did. And then now, like at 35, like I'm still 34. You 35, I'm 34. I still. But then growing up in culture and then growing like ballroom culture or queer culture, and then like even going like to categories like pretty boy realness, right? Mm-hmm. Again, that's another vanity category. Yeah. So when you put yourself through all this vanity stuff, it's like you put that kind of on yourself in a way. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a mess. But I think it's real for a lot of people. And especially, you know what I'm saying? Like, because I know for me, I don't want to be like 40 with a beard. Like, I don't want a beer belly. I don't want my, you know, I mean, but if you do, but again, but I guess the whole point of this conversation is like, where do we find praise in? I mean, we think about somebody like Lizzo. So somebody, was that Kristen that brought up Lizzo last time we was here?
She
was here and she was saying how Ryan was like,
oh, yeah.
He don't like the fact that she's promoting being unhealthy.
Yeah.
And that's where that kind of like, this idea of fat phobia come in or this wasted, because, you know, I'm thinking like, sometimes I'd be like, you know what, if I'm thick, you know, in all the right places, you know, what's wrong with that?
I don't see anything wrong with it.
You know, like, we're not all supposed to be, and I know, but I feel like Instagram has really made us, like, luckily I'm older now. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine, like, having an Instagram page back in the day, trying to like worry about your body and stuff, because it's like that's all you see.
Yeah,
it's fine ass niggas with fine ass bodies.
That's true. That's very true.
Like, where do that world live in? Like, where is it to find? Like, I wonder what can we do to keep pushing the culture towards like things like Lizzo? And I might say that she represents everybody by any means, mm-hmm. but the idea that you can be confident in any size that you are in, no matter what.
Well, I think it is something that's promoted, like, you know, because I do, you know, I always thought I watch a lot of YouTube. Now, I don't watch any of really I don't really have a, oh, maybe I shouldn't say this. I do. I do have a plus size YouTube girlfriend.
Are you about to say you don't have none?
Yeah, I'm about to say I don't have none, but I do. I do have a plus size YouTuber, and she actually used to be little, and she's gained like 30 pounds. And it doesn't look bad on her. Like, you know, I think she looks good, and she, you know, and she's a fashion YouTuber. So, and she has girlfriends and this other girl. They do photo shoots and stuff together. So I think you know, there are girls who are doing it that are positive with it. And, you know, it's models actually that are plus size that, and I do follow some of them real like models that are plus size that, you know, they have millions and millions of followers. So I think outside of Lizzo. So I think it's.
So what about men?
Oh, well, men. It seemed like women definitely, I feel like it's definitely a lane for women to get promoted in that way. But for men, I don't know.
Who's a sexy
like
gay big man? Be like, damn. That we've seen.
Not, I would say sexy man, just period. I don't know a gay one, a sexy man that's like.
I feel like a lot of straight guys get away with like the beer bellies, and they don't have the pressure. I feel like a lot of them, like far as like acting, and I mean, again, I don't know if they're really straight in real life, right? Yeah. But I feel like.
Like a real beer belly though.
Like a real big guy.
Like a real big belly. I mean, like that.
Not like Anthony Anderson. But see, Anthony Anderson lost all that weight.
He did lose all that weight.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, so.
I wonder if he was told that he had to lose weight to be on network TV.
He might have.
Because he lost a lot of weight. Because you could see it like in his face and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, he might have. Because I can't think of a guy like that's like an actor. But then, any guy that I'm supposed to say that's a rapper or even in music, a lot of times they lost weight.
Or they get that body snatched.
Like Rick Ross lost weight.
Gucci Man
lost weight.
Oh my God, Gucci Man transformed.
Okay.
So I don't even, like I said, but I mean, I know like people like Tyus Burgess from the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt and stuff like that. But I'm pretty sure he, you know, suffers from like discrimination from... I don't know, but you know what I'm saying? But then, again, like, they have to entertain you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or so I guess an idea of it in some ways that we have to, like, where is the idea to move? What about that sexual desire? You know, of course, we could look at, you know, bigger people in it. Like, almost like for Lizzo. Like, because then, is that really the right move in a way that we're looking at them as entertainment? You know what I'm saying?
That's a whole different story. Because I, listen, you know, my new YouTube homeboy and his fiance, they have a theory on like Lizzo, Oprah. They have a whole theory about why they're so accepted, especially by Anglo.
It's a thing. And like, I don't, like I said, for me, it's always going to be like this continuum of trying to grow and get over it type of thing. That's just my shit, right? I'm being transparent about it. That's my shit. But I'm thinking like a culture moving forward, like I feel like we're like at, I don't think we had 1% moving the needle. Like you said, we just gave about 5 examples of like black men, celebrity black men who have all, like you said, Rick Ross, Anthony Anderson, mm-hmm. Gucci Man, all trying to look like, you know, Ghosts from Power. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. 50 Cent to be snatched. I'm just trying to think. They all, and in some way, I'm trying to think of one that went the other way. Yeah. That we all like, yay.
Right. He's like, ooh, like he thick now. Man, like, ooh, he thick now. Like, he, you know, I don't know. Like,
because you still see No Fat, No Film. I go absolutely. Jack right now, and that's been forever. Mm-hmm. That phrase has been out my whole queer life.
Me too.
And it's still there.
Yeah.
It's still there. We have not moved anywhere from the idea that we are supposed to be looking like models. You know what I'm saying? It's really not a cult. I feel like if we really focus on the queer aspect of it, it's really not that, right? Like, I feel like all our bodies is... You know,
definitely not all like body, yaddy, yaddy, like yeah. We say on Instagram. So, right. But everybody be so discriminatory towards the girls that are thickums. It's like, well, girl, your body, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, just because you skinny don't necessarily mean that you have a bomb ass body either.
Right. Yeah. They do make it seem like frail. You look frail.
You
need some meat. Right. And that's not reality of everybody. Bodies don't look like it look on Instagram. No. Like you go to the clubs, everybody is not looking like that. Everybody chasing this thing and discriminating it along the way. It kind of sort of.
Yeah. And a lot of times don't even be, because I remember this one guy, he was fine as fuck. And I stopped following him because he said this shit. But I think I was a little offended. And I just followed him. Like, you know, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? But he was just like, you know, a lot of these people be out here talking about they want guys with bodies or they want a guy who work out and stuff like that. It was like, but do you have a body? He was like, do you work out? He's like, do you look physically fit? He was like, are you, you're not being, he was like, you're not being real with yourself. He's like, you're not living in reality. He was like, in reality, he was like, us guys, we probably want somebody else that's going to be fit too.
Right.
So he was like, y'all don't have no body. You know, so you come to us and you talking about you want to fuck, but you're not physically fit. Like, you're not being real with yourself. We're not going to probably want you. And I'm like, oh, bitch, fuck you. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But I mean, but that's true. Real. Because people do look at, like, because you're skinny, like you have a body, like you look like a, that doesn't mean your body isn't, your body is imperfect just like the next person's body is imperfect.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, they have that, you know, they said about them ones, the muscles anyway, usually got a, you know, small, you know.
Well, I know just, of a couple that don't, but but they ain't famous.
Oh, they're not famous? Oh, you had with the, who got the body?
Well, no, I've had sex with a guy with a body that had a nice size penis.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a few of them, like 12 inches.
Oh.
That's too,
yeah. That's a, oh my gosh. Well, no, I know one. He thick too. He about like, his dick got to be about 4 inches, like in width and then like in length. It's like, it's about a good 11. And he's body yaddy yaddy, so yeah. I mean, but sometimes it is
where, the other way around.
It is the other way around. Around.
Yes, I guess that. I feel like it really is going to take a kind of a pledge for us to really promote body positivity. You know, because I feel like we promote everything else when the core of it is like, yeah, you want us to be proud to be a woman, be proud to be queer, proud to be this, proud to be that, but we're not even being proud of just the way we look.
No.
You want us to deep dig within and be proud of our, you know, ancestral makeup or our gender identity and, you know, talk about this and talk about this, but no one's even talking about loving the body that you're in.
And you know what? It's funny we talk about that. And I'm glad we brought this up because I wasn't really sure how I can address this topic. I'm like, well, I don't know what opinion I have about it. But actually, I do. Now, I think about it. When I do start personally styling people, my whole thing is going to be in rocking what you got. Rock what you got. Whatever body it is you got, rock it. And I'm not saying that that does not mean that you don't want to change it, or I'm not saying that that doesn't mean that you have plans to change it. You can be in a process of losing weight or doing whatever. But in the meantime, love the body that you got and play with that the best way you can and make it look the best, or, you know what I'm saying, present it the best way possible. Because I think sometimes when people, they do have weight on them, they just, you know, well, there's, you know, I can't, you know, I'm, you know, I can't look good because I'm fat, you know. No, you can. You can still dress up, and you can still look cute, and you can still, it's just, you know, it's just, I ain't gonna say it's different. You're just not gonna be what society is saying is the norm. But my thing is, you can still go out here and rock it and look and dress better than somebody who got a body.
Okay.
Because I see it, because of the girl on YouTube, you know, she's, the girl that's plus size on YouTube that I'm talking about, you know, she on Dr. Oz and Rachel Ray, you know what I'm saying? She's going everywhere. Is this, you know what I'm saying? She has a huge, she has a big following. I mean, she's getting TV segments, so she's definitely somebody. You know what I mean? As far as, you know, she's making a way for herself. And it was another one that, a curvy girl I follow on YouTube, you know, and she's doing her thing too. She got a deal with Lane Bryant. Like, you know, like, you can make it work for you. And if you want to change it, change it. But that doesn't mean that you, because it's, you're in a state where you are now, you're not what, I guess, society says the norm, that you can't rock it. Because at the end of the day, I feel like if you were confident, you know, confidence is attractive.
Yeah, confidence is attractive, period.
Period. So if
you and your man like it.
Exactly. So if you're confident in what you got, and you rocking what you got, and you, like, you know, you putting yourself together, and you keeping yourself, you know, you're staying pulled the best, not the best way you can, because you can be pulled with weight. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you have to, it's just a different education of how you have to do things. You have to dress, you have to educate yourself on how to dress. You have to educate yourself on how to dress yourself. And if you need help, of course you hire somebody, like, you know, myself in the future. But yeah, you just, it's just a different way of how, knowing how fabrics fit, how fabrics lay, how things fit. It's just, you have to just educate yourself to know what works for you, what works for us. But
now,
right. But so you have to know what works for you. So that's going to be my whole thing. And I guess that's why I don't think about it, because I'm like, okay, in the meantime, or whatever it is you are, just rock what you got, and you can be beautiful, but you have to be confident in it. And, you know, really, you know, fuck what people got to say. I mean, But I'm not saying don't change if you want to change. If you want to change, if you want to be more thin, or if that, you know, you want to lose weight, by all means, do it. But in the meantime, don't just be, you know, treat yourself like trash because you're like, well, I'm this, I got some weight on me. And that doesn't mean that you're like bottom of the barrel by any means.
So I got a question for you, though. So I think I can probably count off my head right now at this very moment 10 people who've had weight loss surgery. It's like everybody's getting it. Like everybody. And really personal people in my life, right? Mm-hmm. Is that a form of like fat phobia? Like this increase of like this idea that everybody's getting weight loss surgery? I swear, I have a friend last week, just got it, coworker about 3 months ago, family members. I mean, I can literally count 10 people. And so I don't know, right? Is that healthy? I mean, I don't have any scientific data around that. But I wonder if that's like, is that a good thing or a bad thing? And I guess I could just leave that to the audience, so people who listen to really think about that, because I feel like it's a very trend. It's very trendy right now. Yeah. Everybody's getting weight loss surgery. But why? I mean, for health reasons.
For health reasons, I can definitely say if it's necessary. But, like, I mean, they said, like, it was rumored that Mariah Carey had it. And I'm just like, girl, really?
Right. Didn't y'all used to just be able to drink something and lose 10 pounds? Right.
I mean, it's for some people, in her case, no shame, Mariah, you were not obese, or you were just maybe a little pleasantly plump. And you just gained a little weight. So for you to go do that, to me, I feel like that it's kind of a cheat, I think, for some people. Like, okay, I'm just going to have the surgery done so I can look a certain way. And I guess I can't say you shouldn't want to look a certain way. But again, but then I know a girl on YouTube that is doing it natural. Like, she's doing keto diet. Mm-hmm. And the weight is coming off kind of slow. Like, she'll say, oh, I lost 5 pounds. You know, well, I lost 2 pounds yesterday, or I lost 3 pounds. It's happening slow, but you can actually see her body, like, from what is, like, I'm following the journey, so I can actually see her body and her actually losing the weight. And I don't know. I think there's more, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I feel like there's a lot of pride in what she's doing. Mm-hmm. She's very prideful in what she's doing.
Right. So it's the work being done. Yeah, the work. The surgery. You might not feel it as much because it was like a quicker experience, a quicker transformation.
Right, but when the transformation is slower and then you actually start having stuff that, okay, 2 weeks ago I couldn't fit that. But this week, she had bought some jeans from Fashion Nova, matter of fact, that she could not fit. She's like, I can't fit them. It can't go over my thigh. Then just a couple of weeks ago, she's like, oh my God, y'all remember those jeans? I said I couldn't fit. I can fit them now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's a lot more, she has a lot more pride and joy in what she's doing because she's actually being disciplined enough to eat a certain kind of way. She's not even going to the gym. She's just literally eating a certain kind of way. She's just doing keto. That's all she's doing. And like her weight, like, and her, I mean, she's still thickums, but it's a cute thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, the niggas would want to fuck. I mean, she's a pretty girl anyway, but I'm like, the niggas would want to fuck. Like, she wear her swimsuits and I'm like, oh, she's thickums. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. I think it's more, I can't say, because you can have pride if you had the surgery, too.
Yeah, you got pride, but so Rihanna and Beyonce, do you think they're helping push it? Because they openly thick and plump these days.
Yeah, they are.
And, you know, and it's looking good on them, and they like, bitch, this is what I got, and I'm rocking it.
Rihanna, yeah, definitely. Well, Beyonce, yeah, definitely Beyonce now. But I think Rihanna, of course, I think Rihanna's been doing it longer. Mm-hmm. Rihanna's been plastic, you know, thickums for a minute now. And she's just, you know, and what I like about Rihanna is she says it. She's like, you know, for her fashion show, oh my God, if you haven't seen her fashion show, if you got Amazon Prime, look at her fashion show. She had women of all sizes in her fashion show. But one thing I like that she said, she's like, well, you know, I wanted to come out with a line that was, you know, open to all sizes because, you know, I'm curvy. I'm like, oh, okay. She embraces her mm-hmm. weight. You know what I'm saying? She's like, I'm a thick girl. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, I'm trying to lose weight. No, I'm just thick. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just what it is. So hopefully they can help push for women who has more weight on them. not, and when I say that, I think even that sounds bad to some people. Like, some people are like, well, you said they have weight on them. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Real talk, I mean, I'm not trying to make this about me, but, like, we was talking about for our meeting of the minds, and we was talking about the wellness, and, mm-hmm. you know, you were saying where you want, and I was like, well, shit, I was like, I can probably gain about 10 more pounds, because when I for me, and I always reference this, because that's the time I remember it, is Wakanda. I call it like the Wakanda weight. Because when Wakanda came out, I was like 190 pounds. I had gotten, it was a piece of something had happened. And I was just like, clothes was not fitting. I had went up in size with my, I think I went up to like almost a 34. Like, I got really like thickums. And honestly, I'm like, well, this isn't necessarily a bad thing. I had sex with somebody and he was like, oh, you didn't have that the last time. I'm like, I didn't. And he really enjoyed it. So I'm like, this is a bad, okay. This isn't a bad
Everybody
thing.
Like a little cushion.
I'm going to do it. I just haven't gotten my protein yet, you know, my organic protein, but I'm going to go back up. I mean, I'm just going to do it right. You know, I don't want it, like we talking about, I don't want no beer belly or no belly and nothing like that. And bread, as I got older, it's like I eat bread and I see it. Like, oh my God. Eat bread.
The body does change. Yeah. It's so weird. Like,
but for whatever I was doing during Wakanda was right, because my stomach had got big too, but it wasn't like a beer belly. But still, you know. Anyway, I guess I'm saying for me, I'm with the Rihanna and the Beyonce's. Like, I'm almost like, okay, I'm gonna go up. Like, you know, I think grown man weight, or even grown woman weight, I think it's sexy. Having a little weight on you, I think it's cute. Now, just as long as you're healthy. It's funny we're talking about that, because I think just be healthy, and, you know, in what you do. But if you got some weight on you, you healthy, you want a doctor, everything checks out, and you like it, girl, rock it. Rock what it. You got.
Rock that runway curl. So, yeah, I mean, I guess just to wrap it up, from my perspective, because that was all, you hit it right on the nose with everything. I feel like in a lot of our work, in Black queer work, I think it's kind of our responsibility to really bring fat phobia up to the forefront and, like, kind of talk about it a little bit more and kind of put that awareness out there. Because, again, to be just, oh, proud of being Black, proud of being my pronouns, proud of all this, but yeah. I'm not even proud of the body I live in. Mm. And see every day. So I feel like it's kind of our responsibility for the ones who, you know, for us who's out there doing that kind of work. And I think it's an opportunity to, like, ramp it up a little bit more in that way, because we need to be holistically approaching, you know, where we're going to get the strength to, you know, fight against all this stuff. And I feel like being able to walk in your body and be okay with your body or love your body or whatever body that is, it's very important, you know, in trying to, you know, navigate in this world as a Black queer person. And I feel like right now, like, it's just something that's not really brought up enough, you know, and brought up in a way, you know, we could talk about all that stuff, but we really need to just start bringing that up a little bit more, have those conversations. So I'm glad we talked about this, Edmison.
Oh, well, yeah, it was definitely a different topic for me. I was like, I didn't know how I was going to approach it. Honestly, I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to approach this, but yeah.
And it's not an answer, right? It's not like I don't think we've nowhere near scratched the surface of moving the needle in the right direction. So I guess it's a plea for even in my own work. Like, after I seen that episode, I'm like, you know what? I don't do enough around this, you know? And I know with Dr. Mosley, you know, something that, you know, on his syllabus that he worked on and talk about. And I know it's out there, right? As soon as you type it in, you know, it goes hand in hand with all the other, you know, Black queer work that's being done. But I feel like it's definitely an opportunity.
I agree. And ladies, if y'all, again, watch Rihanna Fenty Fashion Show. Because I think she did such an awesome job representing women of all sizes. And I'm telling you, when I saw the girls who were, you know, thickums, I was here for it. Like, one girl, she came out, I was like, yes. Like, the lingerie outfit she had on, it looked so good on her. So I think sometimes you need to see examples of other people doing it and repping it. And you know, sometimes you need to see that. So that's a good thing to see. I think Rihanna's doing an amazing job with that, you know, and, you know, I definitely think, watch that. Instead of watching these Instagram girls or these Instagram models, you know, look out in other realms or other places for things. So see people that look like you, that that's body positive.
'Cause your body all over my body, babe. Oh,
we're not talking about your C+.
Your body all over my...
We are not talking about that. I'm talking about body positive.
Your body, babe.
For yourself. I mean, and I mean, that really for any size, like even like, you know, me, like trying to, but we're talking about Fatopia, so I was staying with that. But it just body, it, you know, just rock what you got, and play, you know, and look in the mirror and just look at yourself and just, and, you know, point out all the good stuff that you got going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, because having a little extra cushion for the pushing ain't a bad thing. Or even with cuffing season, shit, give me a nice man that got some weight on him. We can cuddle all night. But yeah, that's my opinion on that.
So Emerson.
Yes.
If the people want to get in contact with you, girl, how they supposed to do that? Tell me.
I have not been on Facebook.
Tell me.
Please stop it.
Tell me now. Tell me now.
Oh my gosh. on Facebook, even I ain't been on there. You can catch me at Eric Lee Edmondson. Oh, I do have something to say on here. I'm going to put it on Facebook too. But my sister Joe of the Mahogany Project and I have found our next date. We have confirmed the date for our next Black People Meetup. So if you're in Austin, our next Black People Meetup is going to be November 3rd. So Joe is always, you know, secretive with locations and stuff like that. So, you know, if you down, I'm gonna put it on Facebook. I'm gonna say, are you down? You down? You know, just, and if you're down, I'll let you know. So I'm gonna put it on Facebook, and that'll be like my re-entry back to Facebook when I actually do that all in the podcast and all the rest of the podcast episodes we've done. Anyway, so yeah, but that Eric Lee Edmondson on Facebook, and look out for that message and let me know if you're down for the next Black People Meetup. We had a great time the last time. I really enjoyed myself, and I can't wait for the next one. And then on Instagram, the L code, Pinterest, the L code, Twitter, I don't be on there, but it's the L code. Snapchat, I don't know. I don't be on there. So, yeah, that's where you can find. Oh, but go to my blog, though, theelcode.com. You can always find, you know, reach out to me on there. You know, I do have comments and my email and all that kind of stuff on there, too. So, yeah, you can always go there as well. That's it. That's where you find me. Oh, and y'all fine-ass niggas. Yes, I almost forgot about y'all. Yes, you know, I still, you know, we still ain't got, I'm not going to keep on asking y'all for pictures and stuff like that. You know, I just appreciate y'all for being fine again. And, you know, if you do want to send pictures of yourself and, you know, we're talking about body, you know, being body positive and stuff like that, you know, fine niggas come in all shapes and sizes, I think. Now, you know, I think they come to all shapes and sizes. So don't be ashamed. You know, if you are fine, you know you're fine, just send pictures, you know, because I always like to look to what works for us or the L code or whatever. Send your mixtape album covers, mixtape covers, you know, whatever pictures, you know, what a personal nude photo shoot you've done for yourself, if it was done in good taste.
You want to see no booty hole?
I don't necessarily need to see the booty hole, but you know, if you just, I always like show and tell though. So, you know, just, you can always send your picture to all y'all fine ass niggas out there. I'm still here for y'all. And, yeah, I want to see y'all. So send pics.
And you can follow me on my freak Twitter at Mr. Thick Thighs. 187. Again, Mr. Thick Thighs, 187.
Oh my god.
It's a homicide. Or you can find me on my regular Twitter, Mr. Telltales, Instagram, Telltales, and Facebook, Mr. Telltales, or Tariq. But yeah, love on yourself.
Oh, and comment. Oh my God, our comments are so fucking dry.
It's dry as pie crust.
Oh my God, the last one was from August. Oh my God.
Where y'all niggas at?
Yeah, where y'all niggas? Why y'all niggas ain't commenting? Y'all listening to the shit. I'm going to need y'all niggas. Okay, if y'all don't send a picture, at least comment.
Okay.
At least say something. You listening. You enjoying it. You know, you might be watching, listening while you in your drawers, laying in the bed or whatever. You know what I'm saying? With your candles lit or whatever. Like, then you could do a comment. You ain't got to take a picture. You could do a comment while you doing that. I mean, come on. Comment. We need some comments. Our comments are dry as
fuck.
And you know when it's dry, it hurt.
Oh.
You gotta.
Oh.
All right, I'm out.
Holla. Oh. Bye. Holla.